Okay, so we are learning Perek Gimel of Shmuel Aleph. very interesting Perek. This is the first time that Shmuel gets his Nevuah. We know Shmuel is a great Navi and a leader of Bnei Yisrael, but this is the first time he gets his Nevuah. Till now, the first two Perekim, you know, the allusions to Shmuel have been that he's growing, you know, he might be a prodigy, but he's developing, he's growing. And here we have his first encounter with the Ribono Shel Olam. Okay, so Perek Aleph, let's see. The Hanar Shmuel Mishareis Es Hashem Lifnei Eli. And the Shmuel, the young man, Yeshmuel was still a young man. He was Mishareis Es Hashem. He was serving Hashem. Lifnei Eli. Now, literally, that means before Eli. So, what that means is that, you know, Eli was overseeing Shmuel. Shmuel was, you know, serving Hashem. Eli was overseeing him. That's the simple understanding. But we'll see a little bit more about that. And then the pasuk concludes with an interesting thought. Udvar Hashem haya yakar bayamim hahem. And the word of Hashem was yakar. Now, usually yakar means precious, you know, expensive. In modern Hebrew, yakar means expensive. So usually means something that's precious. So the word of Hashem was precious in those days. Ein chazon nifratz. Vision here referring to like a prophecy, was not nifratz. Nifratz is from the language of peretz. It did not burst forth. Right? It did not burst forth prophecy. So what does this mean? So, you know, simply the Radak and Rashi understand that at that time, there wasn't so much nevuah. Rashi says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu withheld the nevuah. That's why it was yakar. He withheld it. The Radak seems to say that at that time there were no other Nevi'im at that time. Right? There were no other Nevi'im. We know there was an Isha Elokim who appeared to to Eli in Perek Beis, so you can't say that there were no Nevi'im, but there were very, very few Nevi'im. There were very, very few Nevi'im at that time. Why? Presumably because the people didn't merit it. Bnei Yisrael was not on such a high level. They weren't on such a high madriga. And they did not merit, you know, this level of nevuah where people can communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, just to go back for a moment, when the pasuk says "V'hanar Shmuel Mishareis Es Hashem Lifnei Eli," what's Lifnei Eli? So interestingly, the Mitzudas David says this was a shevach to Shmuel. This was a praise of Shmuel, because Lifnei Eli doesn't just mean before Eli, but it means that he was even a step ahead of Eli. Because we know Eli was the one who trained Shmuel. Eli was the one who taught him the ropes, who taught him what it meant to be to serve Hashem, taught him presumably what it meant to be a Navi. And here, the Pasuk is alluding, says the Mitzudas David, Lifnei Eli, that Shmuel is now surpassing Eli in his level, in his Madrega. Eli trained him. Shmuel then on his own got stronger and developed more on his own. And now he's at the point where he's even ahead of Eli, and he's being zochet to nevuah. He's meriting prophecy. Now the Malbim asks a fundamental question here, and we're about to see in the next few psukim that Shmuel's about to receive a nevuah. He's about to receive a prophecy. So why is it, if the word of Hashem was so yakar, if the word of Hashem was so precious, and withheld, and Hashem withheld, you know, the nevuah from all the nevim at that time? So why was it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to bestow nevuah upon Shmuel? Why Shmuel? Why did he deserve nevuah as opposed to everyone else at that time? So the Malbim says that these next several psukim give us six reasons, and this is a classic Malbim, you know, dissecting the psukim and identifying a series of different points or different arguments. So the Malbim says that there were six reasons presented in this pasuk and the next couple of psukim that explain why Shmuel was unique, that he merited nevuah, he merited prophecy, as opposed to all the other people of that generation. Number one, says the Malbim, the Hanar Shmuel Mishares Es Hashem Lifnei Eli. Number one, Shmuel served God. And not only did he serve God, but he served God in a way that he was even holier than Eli. The Malbim is consistent with the Mitzudas David. Lifnei Eli means that he surpassed Eli in his level. And therefore, he was righteous, and he was fitting for Nevuah. The second comment which he makes here, which is fascinating, is that he says that the next part of the pasuk is actually related to this. The fact that prophecy was withheld, the fact that prophecy was so, you know, uncommon at that time, right? A rare commodity at that time. That's why it was bestowed upon Shmuel. Why? So he brings a mashal and says the Malbim, imagine you have a river. So if you build a dam in a river or you block the river's flow, okay, imagine you build the dam, so all the pressure builds up in that spot. If the water finds one breach, if the water finds one hole in that dam, one area in that breach, what happens to all the water? It rushes out with tremendous force. Explains the Malbim that prophecy is similar. There's a shefa from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? There's some sort of a spiritual, you know, a spiritual endowment that comes down from the Ribono Shel Olam. Now, if people are not worthy, Bnei Yisrael is not worthy, they're not fit for prophecy, so it's almost like a dam is built, right? It blocks up all of that spiritual, all that spirituality that's coming down, all that shefa, that's coming down from the Ribono Shel Olam to mankind. As soon as there's a little crack, as soon as there's a little hole, a little breach in the dam, all of a sudden, the shefa, all of a sudden that spiritual endowment comes rushing forth. And therefore explains the Malbim that Shmuel we know is unique. At that time, people were not on such a high level. People were not on such a high madriga. Besides for Eli, but besides from, we know his sons were really no good, but besides for Eli, people were not on such a high madriga. And therefore, the only one who was shayach at all to prophecy, to Nevuah, was Shmuel. once that was recognizable, once Shmuel reached that level, all of a sudden the Shefa Eloki, this spiritual endowment came rushing forth from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and was bestowed upon Shmuel. So it's almost automatic, you know, and it's a fascinating idea, because essentially what this means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always wants to be Mashviah. He always wants to bestow. He always wants to do good to Bnei Yisrael, to those that are around him. We have to be a kli kibul. We have to be a vessel that's fitting and that's worthy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's shefa. But as soon as we're worthy, as soon as there's a little area where we can grab that shefa, it comes rushing out. It comes rushing forth. So the responsibility is really ours. It's really our responsibility to make sure that we're a kli kibul, that we're in a situation where we're worthy, where we're fitting for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's shefa in this world. So according to the Malbim, those are the two reasons mentioned in this pasuk. Number one, he was Mishares as Hashem, even in a higher way than Eli. And number two, that because the Nevuah was blocked up, it was withheld by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so as soon as there was a little crack, as soon as there was a little breach, a little area where that Nevuah could land, it rushed forth to Shmuel. Okay, pasuk base. Vayihi bayom hahu, and it was on that day. And the Mefarshim will say here that bayom hahu, that day, refers to the same day that the Isha Elohim came to Eli. I remember that Isha Elohim, that prophet who came to Eli in Perek Beis to give him this prophecy of doom that his sons were going to die. And
Elkanah?
I'm sorry? Elkanah, right, exactly. The Mefarshim said it was Elkanah, very good. And his sons would die, and his descendants would have curses upon them. They would die young and all sorts of terrible things. You know, they wouldn't be Tamidei Chachamim, etc. So it was the same day. Vayihi bayom hahu, says the pasuk. Vayihi bayom hahu was on that day. Ve'eli shochev bimkomo. Okay, now we're going to understand. We're going to interpret this in the pashut way, in the simple way, and then we'll give a little bit of an elaboration by the Malbim. Ve'eli shochev bimkomo. Literally, what that means is that Eli was sleeping in his place. You know, in the place in his chambers, in the place where he usually slept. Ve'einav hechelu chehos. Eli's eyes began to become weak. Lo yuchal liros. He could not see. He could not see. His eyes began to be weak, and he could not see. Okay.
By Gibson.
Very good. Excellent. Very good. So there are a couple of connections to Yitzchak here, which we'll talk about. Very good. So the Radak points out, and this is one connection to Yitzchak, the Radak points out that this does not mean that he was completely blind. Okay? Why? Because you find that this reference he brings to Yaakov, that at the end of Yaakov's life, when he's blessing Yosef and he's blessing Yosef's children, so the pasuk there says also that Yaakov was older and couldn't see well. But then the next pasuk says it uses the same language that Einav. I forget the exact language there, but something along these lines. Hechelu hechelu kehos. But then the very next pasuk it says that he was able to see Yosef's children. Yaakov was able to see still. So the Radak extrapolates from the similarity in language that here too it means it doesn't mean that he's completely blind, but it means that he was you know his vision was impaired. His vision was impaired. Why is this mentioned here? What's the connection? You know, it says Eli was sleeping, and then all of a sudden we have some anecdote here about Eli's vision. Why are we mentioning this here? So Pashup Shad says the Radak, I have no idea. I'm not sure. The Radak himself says, I don't really know why this is mentioned here. It seems out of place on a Pashup Shad level. He says if we're working with Mashal, if we're working with a parable, so he says that maybe what this means, maybe we can understand it, you know, figuratively instead of physically, that it doesn't mean that that Eli literally could not see and his vision, his physical vision was impaired. But maybe what it means is that he wasn't zocher, he wasn't worthy of the same level of Ruach HaKodesh anymore. Why? Because of his son's behavior. Because of the evil behavior of his sons, of Hophni and Pinchas, which we learned about in the previous weeks. So because of that, his spirituality was weakened. His Ruach HaKodesh was weakened. His divine inspiration that he got from the Ribono Shel Olam was weakened. And that's why this Nevuah came to Shmuel, didn't come to Eli. It came to Shmuel, the prodigy, the student, right? Why? Because Eli's Nevuah began to wither a little bit. So that's how the Radak understands perhaps the connection of this point here, that Eli's vision is being impaired. He says maybe it's figurative, it's referring to his spiritual vision, his Ruach HaKodesh. Al pi derech drush, right? To darshan the pasuk, based on the Medrash in Chazal, so he says that there's a connection between having sons that are wicked and losing eyesight. And here, this is where Joe's point comes in, that this connection to Yitzchak. And the Radak says, quoting Chazal, that just like Yitzchak had a son, Esav, who was a Rasha, and based on that, he lost his eyesight. So therefore, here also there's a connection that Eli also lost his eyesight because of the evil deeds of his sons. Now he doesn't explain the Chazal why that is. What's the connection between having evil sons and losing eyesight? So I was thinking perhaps the idea is that it's almost like a punishment that if your sons were evil, right? Like the Esav, you know, not exactly on the right derech. The sons of Eli, not on the right derech. So essentially, this is a punishment to their father, saying that you didn't oversee their education well enough. You weren't the pikeach. You weren't looking and analyzing their ways well enough, and that's what caused them to go off. So because of that, you're going to lose your vision, like a mida keneged mida. That's just a thought that I was thinking about. That perhaps maybe that's why this connection between having a son that's evil and losing eyesight. But again, the connection, the reason why it's mentioned here is because the Nevuah is about their actions. This Nevuah that Shmuel is about to get is about the actions of the sons of Eli, of Chofni and Pinchas. So maybe that's why it's mentioned here. Okay. Now what's this Ve'eli Shochev Bimkomo? Right? What's this Eli Shochev Bimkomo that Eli is sitting in his place? He's sleeping in his place. So Pashup Shad, the Mitzudas David says that the Kohanim had a chamber where they slept. Right in the Mishkan, the Kohanim had a chamber. It was almost like a dormitory, I guess, and all the Kohanim slept there. They slept in the inner chamber that was closer to the Mishkan or closer to the Kodesh and to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Levim also had a chamber where they slept, which we'll talk about, and that was a little bit further. So Pashup Shat, that's what it means on the simple level that Eli was sleeping in his chamber in the right place. But the Malbim says that again, this is another reason why Shmuel was zochet to this Nevuah as opposed to Eli and as opposed to other people. Because Eli was regressing, says the Malbim. It's not just that Shmuel was progressing and Shmuel was getting greater and developing, but Eli himself was regressing, right? And that's what it means, Ve'eli shochev bimkomo, meaning that he slept in his place. His mind wasn't on the Mishkan. His mind wasn't on the Ribono Shel Olam. It wasn't on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Spiritually, he was bimkomo. He was in his place, not in the Mishkan. His mind as the Kohen Gadol was supposed to be on the Mishkan at all times, on Hashem at all times. It wasn't that way. It was on himself. Eli Shochev bimkomo. And not only that, but the pasuk continues that physically Eli was regressing. So Eli is regressing spiritually. Eli is regressing physically. And this was the time for Shmuel to begin to blossom and begin to take on his role as the future Navi of Klal Yisrael. So that's another reason why the Nevuah came to Shmuel as opposed to Eli and as opposed to others. Another reason why this Nevuah came to Shmuel, says the Maalim, is that we know from elsewhere in Tanakh that whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to send a message, that he's ready to do something, right? I'm ready to do something. I'm ready to bring this about. He brings the message twice. And therefore, we had Elkanah, as Marvin pointed out, we had Elkanah, the Isha Elokim, come in the last parak to give a nevuah. Vayihi bayom hahu, on that same day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted another nevuah to come. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted another nevuah to show that this is happening. I'm ready. It's going to happen now. And that's why he wanted to bring this other nevuah, and that's why Shmuel got this nevuah right now. Where was the other place in Tanakh where we see this? Where was the precedent? So says the Malbim, Paro. Because Paro got two dreams. Why did Paro have two dreams? Right? So Yosef, if you look at the Psukim, Yosef, when he interprets Paro's dreams, Yosef says the reason why, Paro, you got two dreams, right? One of the bundles of wheat and one with the cows. The reason why you got two dreams is to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ready to bring to begin this process right now. The 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ready to begin right now. And that's why it was brought twice. It says the Malbim, that's another reason why Shmuel got this Nevuah right now, to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was ready to begin this terrible Nevuah, these curses upon Eli and upon his family. Okay. Pasuk Gimel. V'ner Elokim terem yichbeh. And before the candle of Hashem was extinguished, okay, now we'll see exactly what that means. Before the candle of Hashem was extinguished, Ushmuel shochev, and Shmuel was resting, he was lying down, beheichal Hashem asher shom Aron Elokim, in the sanctuary of Hashem, which was where the Aron was kept, the Aron of Hashem, that's where it was kept. Okay, now another interesting pasuk. So v'ner Elokim terem yichbeh. So what does this mean? Actually, you know what? We'll come back to that. Shmuel shochev beheichal Hashem asher shom Aron Elokim. So if you just read the end of the pasuk straight, it sounds like Shmuel was sleeping in the heichal where the Aron was. Okay. Now the Mefarshim point out that that's impossible. That's not possible. Why? So the Radak, I believe it's the Radak. The Radak points out that no one was allowed to sit in the Beis HaMikdash. You weren't even allowed to sit in the Beis HaMikdash with one exception, and that was the Melech. Right? Malchus Beis David, the Melech was allowed to sit in the Beis HaMikdash. No one else was allowed to sit, right? So, let alone sleep. So, to read this pasuk literally and say that Shmuel was sleeping in the Heichal Hashem, where the Aron was, is impossible. Cannot be. Says the Radak. So it can't be that's the understanding. So he points out that if you look at the trup on this pasuk, and this is interesting, the Radak is also into grammar, dikduk and trup. So he says that if you look under the word shochev, there's an esnachta, which is like a period, okay, or a comma, you know, in the middle of the pasuk. So he says, Ushmuel shochev, period. Shmuel was sleeping. Now, where was he sleeping? He was sleeping in the chamber of the Levian. Shmuel was a Levi, that's where he was sleeping, in the chamber of the Levian. Beheichal Hashem asher shom Aron Elokim is going on the next pasuk. Right? That's really connected to the next pasuk. So that's the understanding, and that's what most Mefarshim understand, that he was sleeping in this special place that was for the Levian. Now what's this, going back to the beginning of the pasuk? What's V'ner Elokim terem yichbeh? So Pashup Shat, right, Pashup Shad, the Radak says that we're referring to the menorah. Right, we know the menorah was the Ner Elokim that was in the Mishkan, that was in the Beis HaMikdash. The Ner Elokim Terem Michbeh means before the menorah was extinguished, before the menorah went out. Now the menorah, Chazal tell us, they put it, the Kohanim, when they lit the menorah, Me'erev ad boker was lit at night when it got dark, and it stayed lit all night. And in fact, they put enough oil to last until the morning, right? Even in the long nights, they put enough oil to last until the morning. Now, sometimes some of the candles would go out in the middle of the night, but generally speaking, they would last until the morning. Of course, we know the center candle would remain lit for 24 hours. That was the Ner Ma'aravi. The center candle would remain lit miraculously for 24 hours, but all the other lights would go out usually around daybreak. So the Ner Elokim Terem Yichbeh, says the Radak, means that before daybreak, before the candle, the lights of the menorah went out, that's when this nevuah came to Shmuel. And he explains, and this I can't explain, this I can't quite understand, but he explains that at that time of the night, when it's, you know, early morning, before daybreak, that's a special time, that's a holy time, that's a time when people can connect with Hashem. He says earlier in the night, there's all sorts of different forces at play, which will not work in your favor. During the daytime, we know where we have many distractions during the day, but at, you know, early morning, before daybreak, that's a special time to connect to Hashem. It's interesting, just, I mean, he doesn't mention this, but it's interesting that that's the time that we say Slichos, right? When we say Slichos, I mean, that's, I shouldn't say that. That's the ideal time that we're supposed to say Slichos. Many of us don't say Slichos then, and many of us say Slichos either later in the morning or the night before, but the best time to say Slichos, Chazal tell us, is Ba'ashmoras. Right, that time right before daybreak, that's the best time to say Slichos, and also the best time to daven Shachris. We know the ideal time is Kivasikin, davening Shmona Esrei with sunrise, which means that the bulk of your davening, Pesukah DeZimra, the Brachos, Kriya Shema, that's all being said before daybreak. So you see that daybreak is a holy time when it's a time that's appropriate for Tefillah, and it's a time to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why he says that's why the Nevuah came to Shmuel specifically at this time. That is the Pashup Shat. But according to the Medrash, the Radak and many others, others explain as well that Chazal tell us that when it comes to tzaddikim, before one tzaddik passes away, another tzaddik is born into the world. The world would not be void of tzaddikim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his hashgach and his providence, works out that before one tzaddik passes away, the next tzaddik is appointed. So using that idea, the Radak and the Malbim also explain this, that v'ner Elokim term yichbez is figurative. What that means is that before the light of God was extinguished in Eli, right? Eli, who was the Kohen Gadol, Eli, who was the Shofet, Eli, who was the great person. But as we saw in the previous psukim, you know, he's regressing a little bit. He's waning. He's getting older. Spiritually, he's not as well. Physically, he's not as well. So because of that, v'ner Elokim terem yichbeh, before that light is extinguished, before that holiness of Eli is completely gone, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Ushmuel Shochei Beheichal Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings a new leader. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings a new up-and-coming young person to take over the helm of Klal Yisrael, to be the next Navi, to be the next leader, to be the next, guide for B'nai Yisrael. Right? So before v'ner Elokim terem yichbeh, right before that goes out, we have that opportunity. The Radak also points out here that the sound, the voice of Hashem, right, when it gives a nevuah, the voice of Hashem is miraculous. Why? Because here also it skipped over. Eli was sleeping in the inner chambers, and the voice skipped over Eli and went straight to Shmuel, who was sleeping in the outer chambers. So that's also the divine hashgacha. The Malbim points out, and then I'll go back to one thing I forgot to mention, but the Malbim points out that Shmuel's mind, right, what does it say here? Ushmuel shochev behechal Hashem. Shmuel's mind was always in Hashem. Eli, when he was sleeping, the previous pasuk says, ve'eli shochev bimkomo. Eli was sleeping in his place. He was focused on himself. But Ushmuel shochev behechal Hashem. Shmuel, when he was sleeping, was focusing on Hashem, was focusing on the Aron, was focusing on the Beis HaMikdash. That's what Shmuel's focus was. That's what his mind was on. And that's why Shmuel was unique and Shmuel was special during this time. One thing I just forgot to mention, you see the Hashgacha Pratis of Hashem. When Hashem enables the next leader to come and to be appointed and to take the helm, you know, Terem, Ner Elokim Terem Yichbeh, before that previous light is extinguished, you see the incredible Hashgacha of Hashem, that he cares so much about Klal Yisrael. Cares so much about the Jewish people that he would never allow us to be without a leader. He would never allow us to be without a guide, to be without a gadol, to be without a leader in the generation. So here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is preparing the next leader as Eli is waning, as Eli's spirituality and his holiness is waning. HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepares the next leader. We've seen, I'm sure people have seen, that sometimes when that's not the case, when there's no leader appointed before the next one, dies, passes away, or retires, or whatever the case might be. So then very often there's a vacuum and it wreaks havoc on different systems. I'm sure we can all point to different chassiduses and other areas where there was no leader that was appointed. And the previous leader passed away, previous leader was no longer, and now there's confusion. No one knows exactly where to turn. There's no leader to take over. Mefarshim point out that we find this example with Moshe and Yehoshua, that before Moshe died, Yehoshua was appointed as the next leader, and the people saw Moshe invest Yehoshua with the authority and with the power. So that way, when Moshe died, there were no questions. Right? We discussed this in the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua. There were no questions. Yehoshua was the undisputed leader, and everything just went straight to him. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing now. Eli is on the out. Eli's on the way out, and Shmuel is now on the way in. Okay. Pasuk Dalet. Vayikra Hashem el Shmuel vayomer hineni. So Hashem calls out to Shmuel, and Shmuel says, here I am. Here I am. I'm here. Rashi points out, and some of the other Mefarshim as well, that again, this is connected to the end of the previous Pasuk. The end of the previous Pasuk said, Beheichal Hashem asher shama Aron Elokim. That's where the voice emanates from. From the Heichal Hashem, where the Aron Elokim is, where the Aron of God is, that's where the voice emanates from. The voice comes out. Vayikra Hashem el Shmuel. From there, the voice emanates. Again, passing over Eli's chambers. Eli was in the Kohen chambers, passes over Eli, and just goes straight to Shmuel, who was sleeping in the Levi chambers. Pasuk Hey, Vayorot el Eli, Vayomer Hineni. So it's interesting. Pasuk Dalet, Shmuel right away, he wakes up and he says, Hineni, I'm here. Right? He wants, again, he thinks it's Eli calling him. He wants Eli to know that he's awake. And now, Pasuk Hey, Vayorot el Eli, and now he runs to Eli. Right? He wants to, he feels that Eli needs him for something. So he runs to Eli to do good, to help him out. And he says to Eli again, I'm here. Ki karasali, because you called to me. Vayomer, Eli, wakes up in the middle of the night. Shmuel comes running and says, Hineni, Hineni. Eli wakes up. Vayomer, lo karasi. Eli says, I didn't call you. Shul shchav, go back to sleep. Vayelech vayishkav. So Shmuel goes back and he goes back to sleep. Right? The Mefarshim say, it's like a parent. A kid comes in, he wakes up in the middle of the night, he comes into the parent's room. He had a dream or something. What does the parent say? Go back to sleep. You're okay. I go back to sleep. So Eli assumed that Shmuel had some sort of a dream. He heard some voices or something. Eli says, don't worry, kid. Go back to sleep. Everything's okay. Okay. Pasuk Vav. Vayosef Hashem kiro od Shmuel. So Hashem calls out again to Shmuel. Vayokom Shmuel vayelech el Eli. So Shmuel gets up and he goes to Eli. The Malbim points out here, Shmuel doesn't call out Hineni now because Eli already knows he's awake, right? So he doesn't have to yell out and say, I'm awake. Eli knows he's awake. So he just gets up and he goes to Eli. The Malbim also points out here, the Pasuk doesn't say Vayaratz. First time the Pasuk said Vayaratz and Shmuel ran. Here he didn't run so fast. Why? So the Malbim says he was a little embarrassed. He ran last time to Eli and Eli said, I didn't call you. So Shmuel was embarrassed. He didn't know, what am I doing? What am I hearing? I'm hearing voices. He was a little embarrassed. This time he doesn't run. Vayelech. He goes slowly. Vayelech. He walks to Eli. Vayomer Hineni. And he says again, I'm here. Ki karasali. Again, because you called me. Vayomer. And Eli says, lo karasi vini. He says, my son, I didn't call you. Shuv shchav. Go back to sleep. Go back to sleep. And the Malbim also so beautiful. The Malbim, how carefully he reads the psukim and how he just, sees so much in the words and in the psukim, so many things that we would just gloss over and never see. Says the Malbim here, what word does Eli add? Bini. Vayomer lo karasi vini. He says, my son, I didn't call you. Right? Why is he adding bini? Why is he adding my son? So says the Malbim that Eli had a hunch. Eli had a hunch. Eli knew what was going on over here. He had a feeling that maybe this was a nevuah that was coming to Shmuel. We couldn't say for sure. He didn't hear it. But he had a hunch. He had a feeling that maybe this was a nevuah. So he wanted to give it one more shot to see what it was. But he didn't want Shmuel to be dejected. Because if Shmuel's embarrassed, if Shmuel's upset, what happens when you're upset? You don't get nevuah, right? Psukim are clear. You need to be happy to get nevuah. The Rambam explains this at length. The Nevi'im used to play Vayikim Nagin HaMenagin. The Nevi'im used to play music to put themselves in a good mood. That's how they would get nevuah. They can't get nevuah if they're upset. So Eli's being sensitive here. He recognizes Shmuel's getting upset, right? The first time he ran, he said, he ran to me. Now he's walking slowly. He's embarrassed. Shmuel's hearing things. He's embarrassed. He doesn't know what's going on. Eli doesn't want him to get upset because Eli says that if this is really a nevuah, I want him to receive the nevuah. I want him to be able to hear the nevuah. So he says, Bini, my son, right? An affectionate term, a loving term. Relax, calm down, everything is okay. Shuv shechav, go back to sleep. Now keep in mind, Eli, you know, is not saying here, you're crazy, you're hearing things, you know, stop waking me up in the middle of the night. Eli's not saying that, which again, I think supports a little bit the Malbim's interpretation, that Eli has a hunch that there's something divine going on here. There's something holy going on here. All he just says is, Shuv shechav, go back to sleep, my son. I didn't call you. Maybe somebody else called you. Maybe the Ribbono Shel Olam called you. I didn't call you. Just go back to sleep. Pasuk Zayin. Ushmuel terem yoda es Hashem, v'terem yigale elov devar Hashem. Says the pasuk. This was before Shmuel knew about Hashem so much. He didn't know about nevuah, right? This was before the word of Hashem was ever revealed to him. He never got a nevuah before. He didn't really know what nevuah was all about, so therefore he couldn't recognize it. The Radak says there's a chachma. It's a chachma called the chachma elokis or the chachma elokus, where you learn about God. Shmuel wasn't so well versed in this chachma. He learned many other chachmas. He was a wise boy. He was a prodigy. But this chachma he didn't learn. Had he known this chachma, says the Radak, he would have been able to recognize that this was a nevuah. But he never had a nevuah before. He wasn't well versed in this chachma, and therefore he didn't understand what was happening. He hears the voice, but he doesn't get it. He doesn't understand, right? Just as a mashal for us, so often we hear the voice of the Ribbono Shel Olam in our lives, not the same way as Shmuel, obviously, not a nevuah, but Hashem sends us messages. Hashem sends us, different ideas, things He wants us to think about. But we're also teram yadayas Hashem. Very often we're not so well versed in that chachma. We're not so well versed. We don't know HaKadosh Baruch Hu so well. So what happens? The messages are lost on us. We don't understand them. Just like Shmuel here is hearing the voice of Hashem, he's confused. He doesn't know what he's hearing. He doesn't understand what's going on. So too, in the same way, I believe we also sometimes hear the voice of Hashem. We hear the messages of Hashem, and we're just confused because we're Terem Yadayas Hashem, Terem Yigole, Eilov Dvar Hashem. We don't know Hashem well enough. This Chachma Elokus, this spiritual wisdom. We're not experts in the spiritual wisdom. And therefore, so often the messages are lost and the ideas are lost that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us. We have to try to learn as much as possible about the Yodayas Hashem, about the Chachma Elokos. And then we can interpret the messages properly, interpret the things that we encounter in life properly. Pasuk Ches. Vayosev Hashem Kiro Shmuel Bashlishis. So again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls Shmuel for a third time. Vayokam Vayelech El Eli. And he gets up and he goes again back to Eli. Tayyumar Hineni. For the third time, he says, I'm here. Kikarasali. Right again, he doesn't know what's going on. He thinks Eli's calling him. Vayoven Eli, ki Hashem kore lana. Eli understands. Right again, remember, Eli was the Kohen Gadol. He was the Gadol. He was the Chacham of the time. He was the Shofet. Vayoven Eli. Eli now understands what's going on. He thinks, he realizes that there's a Nevuah here. Okay, the Radak understands that after two times, Eli still thought, you know, maybe he's dreaming about something. He's dreaming that he heard a person calling him. Obviously, there's no person here, so maybe it's just a dream. After the third time, he realizes it must have been a real voice. And if it was a real voice, whose voice was it? There were no people here. Nobody was awake. So if it was a real voice, it must have been the message from Hashem. It must have been a malach, a message from Hashem. The Ibn Ezra, the Radak quotes the Ibn Ezra, who says that since Shmuel heard this voice and Eli did not, so therefore Eli knew it must be a nevuah, because if it was a real voice, otherwise he would have heard it also, right? So this was some sort of miraculous voice that not everyone could hear. Only Shmuel heard it and he didn't hear it. So it's got to be a nevuah, right? We see the Radak points out that we also see that Moshe is the same way. We find that Moshe is able to hear Hashem's voice and Klal Yisrael doesn't hear it. Even though, again, the voice is emanating from the same place. But Bnei Yisrael are just deaf to it. Like you have to have spiritually sensitive ears. It's like a certain pitch, you know, like a dog whistle, right? You blow the dog whistle, a human being doesn't hear anything, but the dogs hear it, right? So you have to have a lahavdil. You have to have a spiritually sensitive ear when there's an avua coming. Lahavdil elef alfei hevdalos. It's not a great mashal. But when you have the, you know, when you have the voice of Hashem coming, you need to have spiritually sensitive ears to be able to hear it. Moshe heard it, Bnei Yisrael did not. Here Shmuel hears it, and Eli does not. Pasuk Tes. Vayomer Eli l'Shmuel leich shechav. So Eli says to Shmuel, again, Eli recognizes now that this is a nevuah. To get a nevuah, Eli says you got to go back to sleep. Right? The Rambam explains, based on the psukim, that the only Navi who got a nevuah when he was awake was Moshe Rabbeinu. Pe'el pe'a dabarbo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe like I'm speaking to you now. Right? Pe'el pe'. That's it. Okay? Even over Zoom. Right? So you still see my face. You hear my voice. Pe'el pe'a dabarbo. But when it comes to the other Navim, you have to be asleep. It's a vision. It's something that you hear in your sleep. Yomer Eli l'Shmuel le'shchav. So Eli says to Shmuel, go back to sleep. V'hayoyim yikra elecha. If you hear the voice again, for a fourth time, v'amarta, you should say the following. Daber Hashem. Hashem, speak. Ki shomea avdecha. Because your servant is listening. Me, Shmuel, your servant is listening. These were Eli's instructions to Shmuel. Vayelech Shmuel vayishka bimkomo. Shmuel goes back. Back to sleep in his place. He goes back to that place where he was sleeping. Again, why the bimkomo here? According to what the Mefarshim said earlier, that Shmuel's mind was always b'heichal Hashem. Right? B'makom asher sham oron elokim. The place where the oron was, the heichal Hashem. That's where Shmuel's focus was. That's where Shmuel's mind was. So too here. Right? Vayishkav bimkomo. Shmuel went back to sleep in the same place. With that same focus, with the same intent, focusing on the Ribbono Shel Olam, focusing on the Torah, focusing on Ruchnius, that's where Shmuel went back to sleep. Pasuk Yud, Vayovo Hashem Vayisiatzav. Hashem comes, Vayisiatzav. Literally, that means that Hashem stands, right? Atem Nitzavim. You're standing still. Hashem stands still. The Radak says, what's Vayisiatzav? And here there was something additional. Here Shmuel saw a vision. He didn't just hear a voice. The previous time, Shmuel heard a voice, but this time, he saw a vision. Vayovo Hashem vayisi atzav. Hashem comes and stays still. Vayikra kifam befam Shmuel Shmuel. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls out, like all the other times, Shmuel Shmuel. And the double language, we know Avram, Avram, right? We have other places in the Torah where we have the double language, you know, a sign of affection. Vayomer Shmuel daber ki shomea avdecha. So Shmuel listened to Eli's instructions and he responds, Kadosh Baruch Hu, speak, because your servant is listening. Now here the Mefarshim point out, he didn't listen very carefully to the Eli's, you know, Eli's instructions, because Eli commanded him to say what? V'yomarta, in Pasuk Tes, V'yomarta, Daber Hashem, Ki Shomei Avdecha. Here in Pasuk Yud, what does Shmuel say? Hayomer Shmuel, Daber. He leaves out Hashem, Daber, Ki Shomei Avdecha. Why the difference?
He had a slight doubt.
I'm sorry?
He had a slight doubt.
He had a slight doubt, good. So Rashi says that maybe he thought it was something else. He still wasn't 100% sure, even though Eli's telling him that it's a nevuah, but he wasn't 100% sure. He had a slight doubt. Maybe it's something different. The Radak says, actually, quoting Chazal, that he thought maybe it was a shade. Maybe it was like a negative spiritual voice, you know, as opposed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Pashup Shat, the Radak says that he was also afraid to mention the name of Hashem in the context of a nevuah. Keep in mind, this is the first time Shmuel's getting a nevuah, right? He may have learned about it, he may have prepared for it a little bit, but this is the first time he's getting a nevuah. It's scary, right? So he's scared to mention the name of Hashem. He didn't say Hashem the way we do it, right? He would say the name of Hashem. Okay, so he's scared. So he says, Daber, ki shomei avdecha. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Ayomer Hashem al Shmuel, and Hashem says to Shmuel, and this is the content of the nevuah. Hinei anochi oseh davar biYisrael asher kol shomo titzilena shtei oznav. So we're going to read a few psukim tonight that say this nevuah. Maybe we'll pick up next week. We'll explain it on a simple level. We'll pick up next week, perhaps, elaborating on these psukim a little bit. But Hashem says to Shmuel, Hine anochi osa davar b'Yisrael, I'm about to do something in Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people. Asher kol shamo, anyone who hears about this, titzilena shtei oznav, their ears will ring. Their ears will ring, their ears, some mafarshim, their ears will tremble, right? Why? So the mafarshim, Rashi, and others say that this is referring to the capture of the Aron. As we know, the Plishtim are going to capture the Aron, going to capture the holy Aron. And that's going to be, this is going to be such a painful thing for Klal Yisrael. Such a terrible tragedy for Klal Yisrael. Anyone who hears about it is going to tremble, is going to be in pain. And Hashem is telling Shmuel, because of what's going on, because of the sins of Eli's sons, and because of the low level of Klal Yisrael, this is what I need to do. This is what's going to happen. Pasuk Yud Beis, Bayom Hahuakim El Eli Eis Kol Asher Dibarti El Beis Oachel V'Chale, says the Navi, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Shmuel in Pasuk Yud Beis, that on that day, on the same day that the Aron is taken, I'm going to begin the curse of Eli's family. Rashi says, what does that mean? I'm going to kill Chofni and Pinchas. The curse will commence. The curse, all those curses that we read about, when it comes to the family of Eli, that they'll die young, they won't have any chachamim, right? They won't have any wise people. All of these curses are going to begin. Heichel v'chalei. They're going to begin at that point, eating away at the family of Eli. Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'higarati lo ki shofet ani esbeiso ad olam. And I'm going to tell him, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I'm going to judge his family forever. As a punishment for the sin that he knew that his sons were cursing me, and he did not weaken them. He did not stop them. Eli knew what was going on. He did not stop his son, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That deserves a punishment. I'm going to punish you for that. And I'm going to judge you and your family forever. Okay? The Radak points out something philosophically very interesting here, that how could HaKadosh Baruch Hu punish the children? And normally we say, Poked Avon Avos Al Banim, normally we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not punish children unless they follow in the ways of their father. So how do we know here? We don't know how the children are going to be. So how do we know? So here the Radak says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that the future generations would not be worthy of these sins being totally forgotten. These sins were so powerful that only if the future generations were really worthy, really had the schus, would they be able to erase these sins, and they were not. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I know that they're not going to be that worthy. The pasuk at the end says, Ki mekalalim lohem. So the Mefarshim point out that it should say, Kimekalalim li. Hashem is speaking, and he's saying that Eli knew that his sons were cursing me, Hashem, and he didn't stop them. So why does it say Lohem instead of li? So here the Mefarshim say that we're hinting to the fact that they disgrace themselves. That when you curse Hashem, you also, you disgrace yourself. You make yourself light in everyone else's eyes. And very often people, do things, they don't realize the repercussions of how it makes them appear in the eyes of others. But here too, when you curse Hashem, it negatively impacts the impression that you're making upon other people. The Mitzvah Stavit says here also, by sinning, we're automatically cursing ourselves. It's almost like they were cursing themselves. Ki mekalim lohem. It's almost like they were cursing themselves. Why? Because every time you sin, you curse yourself. Because you're going to get punished. If you sin, you're going to get punished. So it's like an automatic curse. That's how that's how the Mitzvah Stavit understands. And again, he didn't stop them. And even though the Radak points out, even though in the previous parak he did say Albonai, he said, my sons, yeah, you can't do this. But, the Radak says it was a little too late. Right? It was too late. And at that point, they weren't listening to him anymore. He was an older man already and washed up. Okay, we'll conclude with Pasuk Yudalit. V'lochei nishbati leveis Eli. And therefore, says Hashem, I swore, I promised to the house of Eli, im yiskaper avon beis Eli bezevach uvemincha ad ola, that the sin of the house of Eli will not be atoned with any sort of offering, any sort of korban, an animal sacrifice, a flower offering, forever. How do we understand this? What does this mean? The offerings won't atone. So the Radak says they're Kohanim, but their Kohuna is not going to help them here. Don't think that just being a Kohen is going to help you atone for you. It's not going to. That's option one. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation says the Radak that even though they sinned with Korbanos, you might say that maybe they can atone with Korbanos. Not going to work, says Hashem. Right? Even though you sinned with Korbanos, you won't be atoned with Korbanos. And finally, and this is the most powerful, actually, before we get there, the Mitzvah Das David says that the reason why is because in kategor nasa sanegor. You have a concept in the Gemara and Chazal that what got you into trouble can't get you out of trouble, right? For that reason, that since the Egel Hazav was made with gold, so therefore certain things we don't use gold in the Beis HaMikdash. For that reason, the things that got you into trouble can't bring you out of trouble. But the final thing, the final point here that the Radak mentions is beautiful. He says that what the Pasuk is saying here is that Korbanos cannot atone for you, but other things can. What other things can atone for you? Says the Radak, Torah, Chesed, some say Tefillah, and the Mitzvah Das David adds, of course, Tshuva. So what we're saying here is that it's not hopeless. Korbanos are not going to work at this point, right? It's too late for Korbanos. But other things, Torah, Chesed, Tefillah, and certainly Tshuva, those things can help atone. You see the power of those things, that even when we've done things wrong in our life, of course, we always have to do tshuva. But as much as we can add more Torah, as much as we can add more chesed, as much as we can daven and add more tefillah, that's the true and possible atonement for all that we've done. Okay, I'll stop here for